The following is a Castwave Studios production.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. Tonight, we discuss a little bit of Kingdom Hearts and Pirates of Caribbean, how similar they are to the movies. Also, summer, speaking of movies, summer movies. We have Aquaman, we have Spider-Man 2, the third one, and Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out, a much-needed palate cleanser for the depression that followed Avengers Infinity War. Also, it's boldly going nowhere.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It is a podcast. You listen into it with your ears.
Ears?
Podcast. Listen.
Yes. In that order.
Yes. In that order. We are going into month two, Colinless.
I think it's just a high. I will call it great Colin hiatus.
Yeah.
We are sans maple syrup in this.
It's almost like the 100 episode filler of Naruto where like Sasuke was just going off, fucking off, doing whatever. And it's just like none of it matters. But we'll just keep on with the show. Why not? Screw it. We have some very special guests with us today. Coming back from last week, we have Bo.
Yo.
And he brought a friend.
Yes, we brought a friend.
Yay.
Say hi, Danica.
Hi, Danica. What's up?
Very good. Here's a cookie.
Don't get her started on that, please.
Have a cookie.
So, Danica, yeah, if you want to tell the audience at home just a little about yourself, just, you know, say hi.
What's up, guys? I'm Danica. I am the House of Pain sassy referee. And
awesome.
Brian brought me in here just to see what it's all about. Seems like it's a lot of fun, so hopefully I'll get to join them and Bo a little bit more often.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're kind of on like the Tonight Show like reel of like, you know, every like Friday.
Wild stuff.
Wild is putting it very
You are correct, sir.
Bim shalabim. Bim shalabim.
Where we just have like a special guest every like Friday or whatever. It's like, whatever. I'm okay with it because it's like we're giving Colin the summer off basically, and we're just gonna
He's on vacation. He's sailing, I guess.
Yep, he's finding himself. So, all right. So we have a lot on the docket tonight. Sean, what do you want to get into first, man?
I think Bo brought this to the table.
Yes.
Something about Kingdom Hearts.
Yes. So, He was mentioning, and my roommates have actually talked about it as well, just how insanely good the graphics are for Kingdom Hearts 3. I know at E3 they actually debuted, Bo, if you want to take this after, they debuted some images from the Pirates of the Caribbean level, and my God, like, it's almost like there's no uncanny valley. Like, it looks like it's a movie.
Yeah, they definitely stepped up on this one. I'm passing photo around on my phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
It really looks like they jumped into the movie and just took snippets out, and that's what they ran with.
Yep.
Like, somehow they reprocessed it to where you now have control. I mean, we know current generation consoles were going to be way ahead of what the PS2 was capable of. But even the 2.5 remaster still didn't even get close to this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
I was looking at some of those screenshots, and especially like Orlando Bloom's character is like just detailed. They got the costumes right and everything. So
it's a lot of attention to detail now.
Yeah.
It's to the point where like, because I know that like nowadays when you have new consoles coming out, especially with like the Xbox One X, and then like they've announced like another Xbox coming out, and the PS5 is coming out in like 2 years. It's like, how good can graphics actually get? And to be honest, it's like, it's not so much like, oh, wow, we can get into this really interesting spatial area now with graphics, as much as it is like, we can just really, 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 really finely detail stuff to the point where it almost looks like it's a real movie now. And it's like, it's kind of insane. Like, we're just slowly building on the small stuff, and it's it's showing. The effort is showing.
And now, bear in mind, they've released this on real life, real action movies. We haven't seen anything from any of the actual, like, cartoony Disney levels yet.
I think
there was a little bit of Wreck-It Ralph that was revealed, but again, that was an all CGI movie.
There was Frozen too.
But again,
that's gonna be a level. Frozen's gonna be a level.
Frozen's gonna be.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, at this point, we should all just let that go. I mean,
let it go.
Can't take the shit
let
anymore.
It go.
I can't take it anymore.
Danica has an opportunity to sing, and she doesn't even take
oh
it.
Oh my gosh!
God no! Oh. Well,
welcome to the club.
I am frozened out.
Welcome to the club.
Out.
Yes, it's time for summer, and that brings along summer movies. And
look at that Sieg.
Yeah, that's
about as good as the one I had.
Yeah, yeah. This segue. So after Avengers: Infinity War, I'm assuming everyone saw it.
Yeah.
Right. No,
everyone has it.
No, but I really don't care.
Okay. Sounds like it's important. If you haven't seen it at this point, you know, it's not. It's
spoiler alert. Yeah,
spoiler. Spoiler. I shouldn't even have to say it. It's
spoilers. Like, people died.
You had 2 months to see it.
Yeah, but then you got people like me who live under a rock, so.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't spoil any, like, huge things, but I mean, I'm pretty certain that, like, you've already had a lot of stuff spoiled for you anyways.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah. That's why I don't care.
So apparently there's a second Spider-Man from the Marvel franchise coming out.
Yes.
And Brian, you can fill me in on that, because this is just news to me. When you discussed it in the pre-show, and I was like, what?
Yeah, okay. So next year, and it's going to be after Avengers 4 comes out, the very first movie that's going to come out after they wrap up, you know, Phase 3, and they tie all those loose ends together, the first movie we're going to get going into Phase 4 is Spider-Man 2, the third instance of this, by the way, which we've had, like, Spider-Man 2 back in 2002, 2014, and now one in 2019. Go figure. It's going to be called Far From Home, Spider-Man Far From Home, and it could mean one of two things. One, like, we're either going to see him on Titan after he comes back from, you know, being a dust cloud for however long, or, you know, it's in reference to him being in Europe. He's going to be fighting Mysterio in Europe, which is freaking cool.
Man, I can't wait for Mysterio.
Oh, Mysterio's gonna be so fucking cool. It's
one of my favorite Spider-Man villains.
I mean, he's made to be a movie villain, because his whole thing is, like, visual props and effects and shit. I mean, it's how have we not gotten this point yet?
Like, yeah, that's why I've been saying ever since 3 came out.
Okay, but here's the thing: nobody could have done Mysterio the justice that today's filmmakers.
That's
could
true.
Do.
Yeah.
Like, all that those visual props and effects could not have been done as well in any of these previous, like, mm-hmm. reincarnations of Spider-Man.
Yeah, the technology has caught.
The technology is there for
the
it.
The technology has caught up to the point.
You
to
know
where
what?
They could do this. I mean,
I completely
I could
agree with her. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Sorry. I completely agree with her on that. However, tell me that you wouldn't have loved Sam Raimi's campy take on Mysterio, though.
I would have liked that, but at the same time, it is so easy to mess up a movie, and it's so impossible to get, like, a good movie made. But just the amount of things that go into it.
Well, yeah,
that could be why they held off on it, because they already know that there's pretty much a cult following for certain villains, and I'm pretty sure
Mysterio is pretty big.
It's got a very huge cult following. Yeah.
People bought, like, that Spider-Man 2 game just for
that.
That's
one of those things. Is like, we do this, we f this up, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, this series is done.
Yeah.
That's
how they're approaching pretty much every movie now, which is really it's a lot of money at stake.
Well, what's exciting to me is that they teased Scorpion in the last Homecoming movie, and then Vulture's coming back as well, and we're getting Mysterio. We had two Shockers also. That was weird. So I'm like, I guess they're really trying to go for, like, a Sinister Six movie, and then we've also got that Venom movie that's not going to be incorporated, but somehow it is. And I'm like, I really want to know where they're going with this, because if they're going where I think it's going to go, it's going to be a freaking awesome Spider-Man movie. Like, I think the third one's finally going to be like Revenge of the Sinister Six or whatever. And that would be really freaking cool to see on screen.
They're really cool.
So
that's every time I stop to talk about it and start grunting. Now, Aquaman.
I read the article in Entertainment Weekly and it looks cool. I'm not gonna bash it until I actually see it.
All right, Danica, yeah. Come on, because you're sitting over there getting giddy. Talk.
I'm just really, really super excited for the new Aquaman movie and for a completely and totally different reason than everything.
I sense we have a Jason Momoa head here.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Hey, girl.
He just said Aquaman. She started getting like her waving her arms like, oh, my God.
Tell us about that merman, girl.
That merman.
Listen, that merman is delicious.
Oh, my God.
He is a man with a capital M. I understand why the ladies go for him.
He is a merman.
Did you see that picture on? There's this picture on Reddit where they took it on, like, I think it was like either San Diego Comic Con or one of these other conventions, and the husband, the one, insisted to be in the photo with his wife and Aquaman,
and he punches
and he pushes him into the side like this, and the photo is like him his arm wrapped around his wife's and like pushing him to the side.
Ooh, it's Mr. Steely Girl.
Careful, honestly, if I were him, I'd be like, all right, I understand. I'm like, you go for it. Go for it, girl. Bye. So anyway,
Aquaman looks interesting so far. There's just not a whole lot, but I think we talked about it last episode. We're probably going to be getting a trailer for that and for another movie that we're going to be talking about too later on down the road. But yeah, at Comic-Con, we're going to be getting a trailer. So
yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really super excited for that one.
Yeah.
Now we have Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, that's
the first Marvel movie after Avengers: Infinity War, and I'm thinking it's between.
Yes, it is,
because there's still people there, and there's not as much dust on the ground.
Yeah.
That doesn't really spoil. I mean, that does spoil a little bit. But it doesn't spoil.
There's no planes that have like crashed in the San Francisco Bay or anything because like, oh God, where's the pilot?
Yeah, if that was, I don't know what city that was, but if that was New York, it looks perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's been confirmed that this takes place after Civil War, but before Infinity War, and it's gonna be interesting because Janet Van Dyne comes back. She's being played by Michelle Pfeiffer, which. By the way, that's really cool. We have Michael Keaton and we have Batman and Catwoman over on the Marvel side of things now. I mean, how cool is that?
That's like, pretty cool.
Vulture and the Wasp.
Yeah.
So.
Also, from a subjective point of view on that, Michelle Pfeiffer looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
She was a great Catwoman. Yeah, she was the best. I think she... I mean, with the exception of like the 66 Batman series, which obviously has its hallowed ground of camp of campy awesomeness.
Perfect.
perfect. the soundboard.
Jesus.
It's just one of those things where you sit there, he's pressing the soundboard. Like, say it again.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
it was worth the wait.
Okay, so listen to our Batcast show and like that, like
we have a podcast dedicated to Batman 66.
Yeah.
So obviously Catwoman and that one's perfect.
Which one? Julianne Moore or
does it matter?
Julianne Moore.
Yeah. Or the kit or the third one.
There was three Catwomen?
There were three Catwomen. There were two on the show, and there was one on the
Because I was watching the Batman 66 series for, like... I mean, obviously, I've seen one or two episodes, but to watch them sequentially, this was the first time seeing it. So I haven't seen season one, because we only have season one of the podcast so far.
Yep, and then we're working on season two as soon as possible. As soon as we do Prime Directive, hint.
I don't know what that is.
Anyway.
So boldly go there.
To castawaystudios.com.
Shameless plug.
Michelle Pfeiffer is one of the best Catwomen ever.
Yeah.
Just because there's only been one bad Catwoman.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it wasn't her fault, but the director's.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. How could it have been Halle Berry's fault? She was just acting in a film.
She was just doing her job. I mean, a lot of people end up blaming a lot of these actors. I'm like, no, it's actually the director and the writer's fault for.
That is piss poor proof that like you can be an Oscar winning actress or actor It doesn't matter how good you are. If the script is bad and the director sucks, you're going to get shit.
It's like a lot of people giving bad crap to, Hayden Christensen for playing Anakin. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He really is a good actor, but the dialogue that he was given was not the best. Sand.
It was terrible. It was coarse and it gets everywhere.
The best moment from the prequels, and I don't mind you jumping into Star Wars here real quick, but the best moment from episode 3, I think, is when they're both sitting there staring into the sunset, and there's just like this creepy kind of like music, like, you know, like it's almost, it feels like Eastern, like Indian / you know, you got almost Middle Eastern type of stuff.
I believe,
like,
that's actually called Padme's Ruminations.
Padme's rumination scene, yes.
And I know that because I played Battlefront 2.
There was zero dialogue. It was all emotional, and you could feel what was on screen.
Here's what that's...
Not a single line of dialogue there, mind you. So it really is a test.
Here was my takeaway.
Script makes sense.
Here was my takeaway from that scene, because, like, it was so interesting to me because, like, if you know the context of Star Wars and you know where that universe is headed, you know that the war is coming, you know that, you know, there's going to be the rebellion, you know that the Empire's going to rise and all this shit's going to happen. And here we are at, like, the peak of the Republic in episode 3. You have these two star-crossed lovers. You know, they have children on the way. And they have to hide this. And there's all this shit going on in the background. And, like, there's this weird kind of just tense feeling in the air where it's like, everything's fine now, but it's not. And, like, there's just that connection between them that you can just kind of feel. And it's kind of in the air. And it's almost magical in a weird sort of way. And, I don't know. Like, I just get the sense of dread.
Well, you have to think, too, that we went into the prequels knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We went into the prequels knowing how things were going to turn out. So we have that existential feeling of dread because we're, like, looking at this and we're like, hey, this looks great right now and everything's beautiful and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple movies from now...
Things are going to go down.
It's going to turn into a fucking shit show.
Obi-Wan from the future already gave us our cliff notes. So,
yeah.
So, you know, it's so, yeah, anyway, acting is subject to dialogue and just writing and directing. And it's not necessarily people's fault. So, Halle Berry, you're forgiven. But Michelle Pfeiffer is the best Catwoman.
Yes. And I wanted more Jar Jar.
Of course, you'd be the one that wants more Jar Jar.
No. That was my Lucas impersonation, man.
I feel like
episode 2 just didn't have enough Jar Jar.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're just gonna switch gears here to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. Okay.
How do we think it's gonna go down? Where do you think this fits in the timeline? How far away from Avengers 2 or the Spider-Man Homecoming and Ant-Man and how far away from Avengers Infinity War?
That was a lot of words, but I know what you were talking about.
yeah, I think I got lost.
In your eyes. Now, thank you, Peter Frampton.
No problem.
I feel like this is going to take place, like, again, because I read shit on this, so, like, I know it's been confirmed that it's taking place after Civil War, like Captain America Civil War, and I feel like it is going to lead up right to the snap. It's going to lead right up to, like, they're either going to get their story done or, like, they're going to leap to whatever and, like, oh, yeah, everything's fine and happy and here's my family. Oh, my God, what's happening? Like, you know, and then that's going to lead into Ant-Man because Ant-Man's going to be in Avengers 4.
Yes.
They've confirmed that. So there's got to be some kind of impetus for, you know, Ant-Man to be like, guys, what the hell's going on? You know, and how weird is that, like, the one person that he could talk to is going to be off. No, that's right, because he was teaming up with Captain America. So maybe he has a line to Wakanda, and he could be like, Cap, bro, what the shit is going on? And that's how he gets into Avengers 4.
Cool.
So...
What do we think the end credits are going to be? And then we'll switch gears to Bo, I guess. I don't know. You know?
Or no idea.
Predict? I don't know.
I'm lost in that universe. Yes, I follow a little bit, but I've gotten so lost in storyline between that and some other stuff that I follow that I can't keep up with everything.
No.
I'm very simple-minded.
There's too much stuff going on. Yeah. This guy's got a glove, and people are dying.
Yeah. That's about all I know.
This guy's got... He bedazzled. He got some of these jewels from Claire's. And
yep.
Oh God, we went the real cheap route. I didn't know we went that far.
But it's perfectly balanced as all things should be. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that movie. A-okay yeah. There. Anything else we're looking forward to in summer movies or
summer?
It could be anything. I mean,
I saw this trailer for this movie starring Steve Carell. I can't remember what the hell it is.
Yeah, where he's it's like it should be called Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but it's not. But I know which movie you're talking about.
It's based on a war vet
who lives his PTSD through his toy soldiers.
Yes. And I can't remember what the name of it is, but it looked interesting, and it might be a Coen Brothers movie. I'm not certain, but
that's definitely an interesting take on it.
Yeah. It looks very artsy.
Having PTSD myself, it's definitely a very, very interesting take on it. I mean, that's definitely not something you would think of with a coping mechanism.
But that's basically what I guess is based on a true. A lot of these stuff that's like they'll base it on a true story.
It would have to be because.
But
it's
usually
not
most of
the
stuff is loosely based.
I don't know. This one might be a little more in depth.
Yeah.
Because that seems very very specific and to the point. Because I don't know. I'm baffled by that. I got to look into that.
Yeah.
I think I might actually
have
Steve
to watch Carell that. And it looks very. Whimsical.
It looks very art housey.
I was gonna ask about that because like it's really difficult to imagine somebody like Steve Carell in anything that's gonna be like too serious.
it's called Welcome to Marwen. Because
you're still in the back of your head, you're still Welcome thinking of him from Bruce Almighty on the desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Wow.
It's called Welcome to Marwen. And it's about. Let me see.
I like wrapped it up like that because that's when I, saw from the trailer. But if you can find a synopsis online, probably what's the deal with this movie?
Let's see here. So I went to Google and it says here, when a devastating attack shatters Mark Hogenkamp, played by Steve Carell, and wipes away all memories, no one expected recovery. Putting together pieces from his old and new life, Mark meticulously creates a wondrous town where he can heal and be heroic. As he builds an astonishing art installation, a testament to the most powerful woman he knows, through his fantasy world, he draws strength to triumph in the real one. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so, yeah, apparently he's dealing with a lot of stress and a lot of PTSD stuff. And it's actually directed... Ooh!
Who's it directed by?
Robert Zemeckis.
What?
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm in.
It stars Steve Carell, Leslie Mann, Diane Kruger, and Gwendolyn Christie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That should be interesting. And it doesn't come out in the summer. It comes out December 21st, 2018.
Oh, go figure.
I'm a huge Gwendolyn Christie fan.
You're a fan of a lot of people.
I'm a fan of a lot of people. Game of Thrones cast members.
Yeah, but you're not my fan.
I can't be your fan.
Exactly.
Impartial.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How funny is that, by the way?
What?
Well, I mean, like, are we letting Kay Fabian in the room?
Nah.
Cool.
over my head.
Yes, it is.
we're going to keep it at about where it's at.
Yeah. I
think it's about all everybody needs to know. If they don't already know from being out there, they don't need to know.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, just realistically, the fact that you're a wrestler and I'm a referee and I'm supposed to be like...
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to call it down the middle anyway, but you're sassy.
Yeah.
I am the sassy referee, but I still can't be biased towards you.
I mean, we can talk about that for a second if you want to, like, just being a sassy referee, like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some people out there who might be interested with that.
What entails a sassy referee?
Yes.
Okay, so the thing about it is, obviously the wrestling industry is, like, 90-10 male-dominated.
No. That's a shocking.
What? You know, I know. Crazy.
Shut the front door.
You won't believe this stat from professional wrestling. It's like clickbait, and you get there, and it's like, it's 90% men. No shit.
That's an unfortunate downside. A lot of the wrestling business is very cut and dry. You already know the answer, but you got to ask the question.
I can name off the top of my head that I personally know myself 5 female referees, and that includes me. So 4 others.
There's also Granny.
I wasn't.
Can we not talk about Granny?
I wasn't counting that.
Fair enough.
The world is not ready for that yet.
No. Gangster Granny needs to stay.
Yeah.
So I've kind of built myself up as being this kind of like big Billy badass kind of referee because I have to, because most in general people don't take a female referee very seriously.
Well, you also got to put out there too the fact that you're not built like a typical female
it also does help. Most women in the wrestling industry, you know, 5'2" to 5'6",
maybe 5'8" at the top.
Yeah. 100 to 130 pounds, like they're
maybe
very tiny little petite women.
Small and compact, like MP3. Got it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And then you have her.
And then you have me.
6 foot.
Yeah. And I'm bigger than most of the guys that wrestle with us. So it's very easy for me to get like this like sassy attitude, and like I'll push them around and I'll get in their faces and I'll yell at them and I'll get nasty and I'll give them attitude because I can.
And because I think you should,
because I need to be taken seriously.
You need to be taken seriously, and also you can't. I mean, as a referee, you can't let people walk all over you. And to be, I think you're probably the appropriate, size and stature for a female referee, and it should be the standard, but it's not.
Yeah, unfortunately,
from you know what you guys tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because pretty much the other thing is too, you lose the referee in a match, the match is done. There's no more energy or draw to it. Just there's no way to end it. You've pretty much thrown the rules out the window, got rid of the ref.
Yeah.
How's this supposed to end now? I guess we're going to have to fight back to the locker room.
Essentially, there's no wrestling industry without referees. You don't have wrestling without a ref.
Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't these weird, okay, this is going to be a unsanctioned street fight, no referee, you've got 15 minutes to beat the piss out of each other. It happens. It happens.
Yeah, those are draws. Terrible leagues, yeah.
Well, no, WWF did that. Yes, I said WWF for a reason, because it was back in the late 80s.
Fighting pandas.
What about the World Wildlife Foundation, man?
Anyway,
what about it?
It was the World Wrestling Federation.
I still get pissed off when I see those commercials.
I do.
I
do
t-shirt.
Too.
I want the t-shirt, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the panda with a chair.
The chair.
There's a panda with a chair.
Yes. I love it.
It says WWF and it has 2 pandas, and one of the pandas holding a chair and is fixing to hit the other one.
Yeah. Why can't we just join forces?
Anyway, there was quite a few of them back then where a street fight meant no referee. You had 15 minutes to beat the crap out of each other, and then everybody emptied the locker room and got you out of there.
Yeah.
That was what they considered a street fight.
Yeah,
back
but that's
then.
Not really, you know, a thing that happens because, you know,
I think
athletic commissions and safety standards and.
I think a lot safer.
I think my favorite street fight that was ever on, like, WCW or WWF was, I think it was like right as the NWO had started, and they were just tearing ass, and it was like that outdoor show. So like they're in the back with all the trailers, and like Rey Mysterio gets thrown into the trailer and shit.
Oh, was that Hog Wild?
I think it was.
Called it up at Sturges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
Like that shit. Like I was like, man, did they really
I love
just
that name,
those
though.
Pay-per-view names from the 90s Sturges. Are ridiculous.
Hog Wild.
Hog Wild.
Oh my god. Wild.
Okay, my favorite set, as ridiculous as it is, like one of my favorite just crazy sets has got to be Halloween Havoc.
Oh, yes.
Because it's like,
yes,
it's like, hey, look, none. Here's a gravestone and tombstones and a giant pumpkin. You know? Like,
hey, it's definitely better than the old SmackDown fist, okay?
Get ready, Charlie Brown.
Yeah. I like the SmackDown fist. I thought it was kind of cool.
Oh,
I mean, I like the...
Thursday Night SmackDown was like appointment television back in the day for me.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but are you going to go fist or are you going to go the original?
I like the original a little better.
Yeah.
Funny enough, when the original set was happening, I was actually back in Texas... And I wasn't able to get tickets to that. I wasn't able to get tickets to a SmackDown show. And it turned out to be okay because turns out that they had to evacuate and they had to reshoot because there was a tornado warning.
Oops. Oh God.
So imagine, I can only imagine like being in the industry back in the day, getting ready for a show, and all of a sudden everybody's like, y'all gotta take shelter, there's a tornado coming. Like, go figure. Am I getting hazard pay for that?
Was hazard pay a thing back then?
I don't know.
It might have been.
How far back then was this?
Like 99, 2000?
Oh. Yeah, 99, I think, was when the first SmackDown aired. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
I don't remember any of that.
So that was fun.
That was a good time.
I've never been to SmackDown. I've been to Raw, I've been to Nitro, and I've been to the Royal Rumble, but I've never been to SmackDown.
I've never seen wrestling live. Yeah. I've only saw it on TV.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel kind of
sad. I get
sad.
To live it every week, so.
Damn. That's awesome.
Actually, the very first like live event that I ever went to was WrestleMania 28. Was it 28?
Yeah, it was 28. Yeah.
WrestleMania 28 was the very first live wrestling event that I ever went to in my entire life, and I was not a wrestling fan.
No, what now?
But you became a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you walked in not a wrestling fan, but you walked out a wrestling fan.
Oh, absolutely.
I hear a lot of that with sports in general.
And the thing that made me a wrestling fan, the really screwed up part about it is, the thing that made me a wrestling fan was from WrestleMania 28, Triple H versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, with special guest referee Shawn Michaels.
Oh, my God.
That was my first live wrestling event ever, so.
I didn't even watch wrestling that much, and I'm jealous. Like, I know who all those people are because they're, like, mega big names.
I remember I went to the Royal Rumble in 97 at the Alamo Dome, you know, same place that I saw like tons and tons of San Antonio Spurs games. And, I was so new to it that I was like, I was looking at my friend, like, why are they like chanting the three? Like, I didn't know what the three count was. Like, that's how fresh I was to the whole thing.
You were green.
I was so young, dude. I was like, I don't know why they're chanting. Like, wait, okay, so they're out of the ropes now and they're counting to 10? But I thought they were counting to 3. You know, and like,
yeah,
like
once you start getting into the actual rules, then that's when you find out how true of a fan you're going to be.
Yeah.
If you can learn those rules and understand
without anybody
those
actually,
rules,
yeah.
Without being told what else goes on, as you now know from being up there at training.
Oh, yeah. Well, keep that in mind, that then, like, the main event was the Royal Rumble. And I was like, oh, wait, so nobody's counting to anything now, and they're just throwing them out?
Yeah,
like,
no,
wait,
now you watch for the Big Ten to pop up, and everybody counts down to 0,
I'm like,
and the
I'm
buzzer
so confused.
Goes off.
Like, what's happening? What are all these numbers? So I eventually got it, obviously, but...
I mean, back in, like, I was, like, back in 1996 or what, when SmackDown was at its peak. Thursday Night SmackDown was at
was
its...
It was like 99, 2000.
It was like 99, 2000
yeah.
When I used to watch it when I was in like middle school.
On UPN.
On UPN, of all places.
Home of Brandy and Moesha.
I mean, I didn't watch those shows, but...
And the Steve Harvey show.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
Oh, no. Martin. I think it was...
Martin.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was my jam.
Sorry, we're
during
over
the
here
peak during the peak
ourselves.
Of that.
Holy, yeah. Oh wow, I've completely forgot. You don't know what UPN is?
Nope.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was a local broadcasting.
What year
network.
Was like? What year was this?
99, 2000.
It was 99.
I was 7. I don't know what you
anyway, did. Back in the day, I used to watch wrestling.
Yeah, but UPN used to also air the Animaniacs.
I officially feel old now.
It was a man who was named after a rock.
That's it.
And there was a man that I'm going to see soon called The Undertaker.
Oh, yes.
Oh yes, and the Paul Bearer was still alive then too. So
listen, I remember Paul Bearer.
Yeah, I know you remember Paul Bearer.
But wait, when The Rock was popular, and I remember screaming at the TV just because I don't know if it was just one of those that year, and he used
that was
so
when
much
he was
of
turning
the,
heel.
He was turning heel, and what does that mean?
Means bad guy.
Bad guy.
Bad guy.
You have heel and you have face. Face, good guy, heel, bad guy, and then you got tweener.
But he was losing like 80% of the battle and then coming back like the other 20%. But it was like in the middle, it like drove you nuts. Like you're like, get up, get up, get the yelling at the TV.
That was when he was still the face of the company. So
yeah.
he would spend like the first 10 minutes making it look like he's just going to walk in and leave.
Yeah.
And then once it gets turned around, which is what I love because I'm generically a bad guy.
Dirty shirt.
We're not going to bring the dirty shirt up in on here.
Yeah.
I know the world's ready for it. The world wants it.
Just brought up the dirty shirt.
No.
We'll double back to it. We're on one path. But then whoever he's facing gets up on him. That's, you know, his heat. He's got to be the bad guy. He's got to be dirty. He's got to be nasty. And if we're screaming at the TV.
So turning heel would be like DM.
The best example of turning heel, bar none, Hulk Hogan. All the way up through the mid-90s, was the guy. He was the face. Everybody loved him. He was the all-American hero. He was everybody's turn to. If it was a big match, he was winning. Everybody knew it. Then all of a sudden, 95, 96, you got Scott Hall and Kevin Nash talking about how they got this third man for their whatever it's supposed to be that they're forming because they really didn't come out with a name yet. And then everybody's like, oh, Hogan's coming out to save Savage, which was what everybody thought, because that's what the face did. And then he turns on him. Instant heat.
Heel turn. It was a good heel turn.
Like, everybody just hated him after that.
Yep.
It was immediate. There was no wait. What just happened? Boo!
Shawn Michaels when he turned immediate. On his tag partner.
Yep.
Yeah, when Shawn Michaels turned on Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
That was
early 90s.
But that was barbershop.
Late 80s,
that was,
early 90s on the barbershop with Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yep.
Now, why did you have to bring up the dirty shirt?
I don't know. I love
the dirty shirt.
I don't know, man. It was just
all right. I'll paint a picture real quick.
What is dirty shirt?
I'm going to paint a picture real
Wouldn't
quick.
Wouldn't you like to know, sir?
What?
I would.
Of what my gimmick is, and I'll show you guys a picture here in a minute because I have a picture of it. But for those
visual
at
reference
home,
in a audio podcast, by the way.
For those at home, I'm going to try and explain this as best I can. Yes, I talked about being a mechanic on the last episode. Well, it also translates over to the ring. I have the dark blue Dickie style work pants. I've got the dark blue button-up shirt. But what's one thing you think of when you think about a mechanic? They're either very clean or what?
Very dirty.
Very dirty. I fight dirty, so guess what? I have a wife beater. That is just as grimy as you can imagine.
Hence the dirty shirt.
Yes.
Yes.
And dirty white, shirt. In white, it shows dirt especially well.
Yes.
Shirt's really disgusting.
It is instant.
It's clean.
It is as clean
so
as you
So basically,
can get.
It has like a, like, I don't know if you play GTA 5, it has like a Trevor level of cleanliness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
Like he'd be able to
okay.
Test, not me.
All right, Brian got it.
Well, actually. Even on current WWE, Dean Ambrose, his shirt's kind of sweat stained. I got the sweat stains, but I've got like grease, oil, just God knows what else has really stained that thing. I'm not going to try and think on it too hard, but that's just the way it is. And just it was instant. Everybody drew to it. It drew attention. Now I get a lot of clean your shirt. Did you eat your Tide Pods?
That one is my favorite, by the way. That one is my favorite every single time.
I know.
You're supposed to use the Tide Pods to wash your clothes, not eat them.
And typically my go-to for that is, well, then what were you doing in my closet?
Oh, my God.
The
hilarious.
Best part, and the best part is I think the person who started the Tide Pod thing was a 16-year-old fan, like a really young fan.
Yeah, it's a really young fan that ironically
takes one
the
to know
target
one, right?
Generation that's actually doing the challenge is now assaulting somebody that's well past the challenge with.
Yes.
Dirty shirt. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's at the point now where if I'm out of the ring and they recognize me, it's instant. Hey, dirty shirt. That's not my name.
I mean, it's. I could say that an uncleanliness is a brand, if you will. So I could see you go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Bastion Booger
like
level,
the pig pen. The pig pen of.
Sorry, Danica.
Pig pen like on Peanuts, you know,
yeah.
but actually more personality.
There's actually a subculture of like punk music, like it's called a grime punk, where like you just get really fucking like nasty and grody and shit. And it's like, ugh, I don't know.
The CDs won't even play and
What CDs?
Pretty sure they're still trying to use the. You just open up the CD tray and it's just shards, and you're like, "What is like it's so
it's
metal?"
It's just a mound of dirt, and you're just like, "What the fuck?"
Okay. And then you like reverse side.
Are we sure they're not
weird.
Still trying to use the 8-track?
Oh my god, 8-track.
Yeah, I went
How
there.
Old are you?
I'll put it out there. I'm 31.
No, 32.
I'm turning 31 next month.
I'm 32.
I'm 26.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So young.
Yeah, but she's not a baby. So old.
How interesting is that, by the way? Like, just as a side note, like, because I've known people who are like 25, 26, and like they're like it's so weird in your 20s because it doesn't matter exactly what age you are. But there could be, like, a 21-year-old that, like, just really has their shit together. And then there could be a 29-year-old that just, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, it's so weird in your 20s. Just, like, the amount of, like, how different people are in their stages of, like, getting where they're going in life.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always interested me.
It's kind of like the 20 through 29s where you're really getting the feel out for the things that you were taught, and you're learning at a really rapid pace now. Oh, mm-hmm. Wait, I don't know what that is. Wait, what's that? Wait, I was supposed to do that a week ago?
Right.
Why didn't anybody tell me about this? Why didn't somebody else do this? You know, like, it's a big, rough learning
curve. I got to tell you, I think the hardest part, honestly, the hardest part of being in your 20s is that stark realization that you're now expected to do everything. I gotta pay my bills. I gotta make my doctor's appointments.
Yep.
I gotta remember to wash my socks. I gotta buy my own
socks.
It's called living.
It's kind of living.
It's this steep learning curve. They don't prepare you for this.
No. And then like I think like I don't know if we like dive into like just education here real quick, but I think they should start teaching that.
Yes.
Yeah. All the kids like, hey, this is
all
how you budget.
See,
this is
all
how
this effort they
this
have
is,
thrown into putting Common
what's
Core
a, what's
math.
What's a 401k? Why do you need it?
Now, we could have a great little discussion here real quick because three of us are right at the same age. And then you got her.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no real generation gap in between us.
No.
But there should be based on education because I don't know about you two. I kind of remember being offered budgeting courses. I remember being offered home economics stuff.
I do too, actually.
We did home economics, but you just, you know, kind of made like a quiche and
I'm not saying it was anything.
I took home ec in middle school. I learned how to take care of an egg baby.
Did you have a partner and you both watched over it?
No, we had to do it by ourselves.
Oh my god.
We had to hollow the egg out and it had to survive.
They're training you to be a single mother.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Did you go to school in the inner city, ma'am?
No.
Oddly enough, actually, I was going to school up here.
All right, so we're in Frederick. So we're We're taking the egg away from you to just, you know, get you accustomed to loss.
But here's the screwed up part about it.
Because it's going to walk away from you like everything else in your life.
Here's the screwed up part about this course. At the end of the course, we had to have devised a, like, car seat for it. We had to take a bowl and we had to make, like, a safety seat for it. And they threw it down the stairs. They threw it down the stairs to see if the baby survived.
You don't throw a baby down the stairs and be like, oh, is it okay?
I can't tell. We had faces. We painted faces and clothes on the face and gave them names. And then they took our babies and threw them down the stairwell. So I want you to think about my home economics experience for a minute, guys.
I'm thinking about it, and I'm hungry for breakfast.
Did they hand you a single slice of Kraft Singles and say, here's your government
cheese?
I find that a little weird because I remember in high school there was an actual parenting class, and they had the robotic babies. I don't know if you guys dealt with them or not.
Robotic babies.
I didn't have one of those.
Creepy.
They have a special key that is assigned to them that only you can hold on to.
Where's the key go?
You just You're supposed to scan it over their body somewhere. I didn't take the class. I did not take the class. The girl I was dating at the time took the class, and my sister took the class. She's like,
how do you take their temperature?
By the mouth. It was basic. Actually, that's not how you check a baby's temperature, but anyway. See, I told you about that last week, and now you did it.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break while Brian fixes. He's going to attempt. Attempting.
This is all your fault, Sean.
I'm trying to. All right. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Hello, I'm Ronald Reagan, and Boldly Going Nowhere is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. You know, you can save up to 50% on your favorite music, movies, and more by going to Castwave Studios at Amazon. Help this show and save money at the same time. And fight the commies by bookmarking and clicking through today at castwavestudios.com/Amazon. Reagan smash.
Yeah, okay.
And we're back.
Oh, my God. Wow, that was...
That was, I didn't think I had to go to, like, an emergency commercial break 45 minutes in.
You know what, though? It was worth it.
It was. You got to hear Colin talk about
the commies. Going,
the commies.
Reagan smash.
Reaganomics.
Mr. Gorbachev, please send over the cake.
Mr. Gorbachev, pass that bong.
I can't watch an egg kid.
Press play on Netflix. It wonders if I'm still in the room.
Mr. Gorbachev, I'm still watching.
I'm still watching Orange is the New Black. Okay.
Mr. Gorbachev, okay. Take down that cue.
All right. All right. That's the episode title.
Mr. Gorbachev, roll that blunt.
No, I'm still going with take down that kill.
It's that good.
Oh, the good.
That good.
Which one of you kept saying that the other night?
It was Tremor.
Yeah.
It was Tremor.
Oh, well, I said it too, because we were walking down Hagerstown.
Yeah, but Tremor said it first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm. It's something I call the marijuanas the good.
You know? Oh, my God.
Oh, man, someone's smoking that good.
Puff, puff, pass.
Somebody was.
How weird is it that weed, like, you can get a medical marijuana card, and there's shops in Maryland right now.
Yes, there's actually one not too far from Frederick here over in Urbana. Cool.
We're moving on up.
Yes, we are. And I'm like, it's like, cool, I don't have to go to Colorado for this anymore. Yay.
Well, I mean, except for this fact that have you looked into how expensive it is.
Yeah, but
that's where they're coming up with these insurance, you know, bylaws and finding ways to get insurance to cover.
Oh my God, Blue Cross Blue Shield on the.
Oh, trust me.
Oh, it's gonna be a $20 copay. How much are you gonna? You're getting an ounce.
Oh my God. It's gonna be like Green Cross Green Shield, but
like I'm telling you right now, when they do that, if they do a $20 copay, somebody needs to be over the camera because you're gonna get a lot of this.
Ooh,
what?
Right now, yeah.
Yes.
Oh wow, yeah, Mr.
All right. No, Brian's being muted now.
No.
And thank you for. And on that note, thank you for tuning in to Boldly Going Nowhere. You know, it's a podcast to listen to with your ears. You can always go to our Amazon page at castwaystudios.com/Amazon for all of your shopping needs. Also, tune into some of our other podcasts that we mentioned here tonight. Prime Directive, Backcast 66. Catch up on those through our shows tab on castwaystudios.com. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug mine again real quick. You can look me up on Facebook. It's Bo Ross, B-O-R-O-S-S.
All right, Bo Ross.
No relation to Jim Ross.
No relation to Jim Ross yeah. Or Bob Ross.
Yep. Or Bob Ross. That's special.
the joy of Baca.
And I am the sassy referee, Danica. You can join us and come see, check out what we do at the House of Pain in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Awesome.
Yep.
House of Pain.
House of Pain.
We'll be doing it tomorrow.
I'll be doing it tomorrow, apparently.
Thursday night.
Ryan, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter at BMassey1987. You can also find me on Facebook at the BatCast66 page. I guess we're going to try and do that sometime this summer. To give you a little inside baseball, we've been working on the studio. So we've had some shows that we haven't been doing, and we promise we're going to get back to them, but we're hoping...
As in the post I mentioned earlier on episode 19, we did our computer, my computer, it's my computer that I use for the studio to record these podcasts, has failed. I'm recording off of my MacBook, which is usually my web browser when we come to all this decent stuff. So if you can, please find something like help Castaway Studios at the Castaway Studios page and see what you can do. And then we'll be, you know. Everything's appreciated. Join our Patreon.
Yep.
And so forth.
There you go.
Patreon.com/castwavestudios. And Brian, B. Massey 1987.
Sir.
That's right. For Sean Holmes, Bo, Danica, and Brian.
Yeah. That was weird.
What was your name?
Let's try that one more time.
Let me flush that down. Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's floating.
God, oh. No.
The smell.
I am not a nugget.
Mr. Gorbachev, I am not a nugget.
What is a nugget?
What is a nugget?
I miss Owen Hart.
Rest in peace, brother. Rest in peace.
All right. Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour with Boldly Going Nowhere. So for
Brian Massey,
Danica,
and Bo Ross,
and I'm Sean Holmes, and you've been listening to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's not an intro. It's not cilantro. It is an outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.